Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast known for our model behavior. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Also with us today is our very metatextual super producer, Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. And you think that's rough? Try spelling kids with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 69 of Hey Arnold. Nice. For those of you keeping track at home, that's season 4, episode 9, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called It Girl. Original air date, September 18th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga becomes a model, but she quits after she gets irritated at everyone dressing like her. And as we always do, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible, which includes Christine Kolosov, who directed this one, and Jonathan Greenberg, who wrote it. Let's go to our very own resident It Girl, Emily, for first takes. Emily, what'd you think about this episode?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Cody. I think that this one is quite a bit like season 3 episode Stinky Goes Hollywood, which we really enjoyed watching. That was the one where Stinky becomes the Yahoo Soda spokesperson. And I think it drives that home a lot, too, when Helga later in this episode becomes the It Girl and says, man, being the It Girl really bites. So kind of draws that loop from the season 3 episode. But yeah, I think this is a fun episode. I like the messaging. Mostly you're just seeing Helga get really frustrated over the fact that everyone's starting to dress exactly like her, act exactly like her, walk around school and home the same way she does. So just seeing her frustrations with that and kind of pinpoints the fact that fashion trends are just turn everyone into like a homogenous soup where everyone's dressing exactly the same and it's like carbon copies of each other without their individuality. So I think this is a good one, kind of in a similar message too to the Stinky Goes Hollywood, where we're learning about keeping our dignity, the main character of this episode being Helga. But yeah, I think Mr. Johnny Stitches is kind of a funny character for this one. We haven't seen him. He's new to this episode. The famous fashion designer who of course has a British accent because that makes him even more high fashion. And yeah, I really like when the kids are first auditioning to be a model and they all want that role, you see Helga in the back and it's like, oh, of course they're going to zero in on her because she's got the unique eyebrow. She's got the big pink bow. Her character design is like very unique and her hair is sticking out and bright blonde. And, you know, that's a testament, I guess, to just character design here. But so they zero in on her and that becomes a part of the whole episode of, well, let's make Helga's look become everyone else's. It's the new It thing. And I really, just other random things I liked. I really liked the animation of Helga's hair waving as she's modeling in front of a fan. It's like a flag animation where it's all wavy, like on a flag on a flagpole. It just looks funny to me. Also really like the city backdrop. At one point, we just see Hillwood. It's like all purpley and the bright colored buildings and skyscrapers and the bridge overpass. It's so beautiful. And I actually have that as my desktop screensaver. So shout out to that background painting. And what else to say? I think Hat Girl has something coming to her at the end there, the new It Girl, the Hat Girl. But I don't have much else to say about it. I think it's a good message. I think it's a message we've seen before, but it's fun to see it in the Helga context here.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, if Hatgirl has anything coming to her, it's going to be some demand for royalties, because I've been Hat Boy, I think, all summer and maybe beyond. I have the awkward forehead tan line to prove it. So I'll be reaching out to Hatgirl. Hatgirl, if you're listening, expect my lawyer to get in touch with your people. But until that time comes, Harry, what did you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks. I really liked how you characterized that, Emily. I was also pretty worried about the Yahoo Soda episode with Stinky. I think that in contrast to the Cheese Festival episode we just talked about, this is an episode where maybe just because of the triumphant fact that Helga is such a well-established character, it ends up going some different places that I actually kind of appreciated. In particular, I thought that this was kind of like I really liked the commentary on the idea that, like, Helga has sort of monetized her brand, and now she can't escape from, like, other people have taken it from her, right? And she sort of loses her identity in this episode. It's really interesting and astute that Helga sort of comes to understand that a big part of who she is how people react to her in certain ways. And so, like, the fact that now she can't elicit the sort of response of, I don't know, like derision or at least consternation at her antics means that she doesn't have that essential part of who she is anymore. Like, even beyond her own fashion and even beyond her own personality, she loves that she's different from other people. And I guess that's where the Stinky connection comes in, that Emily alluded to, right? Is that the fact that she's different ends up being what's so important to her. My favorite part of this episode by far is that, and one that I think actually kind of points to a really important point that this episode makes, right? Which is that at the end, our beloved himbo Arnold comes with some really weak stuff to Helga. And he's like, because he is the one that convinces her to act nice so that she can get out of her nice or her it girl contract and go back to the way things were. But afterward, he rolls up on her like, hey, you know, I really liked it when you were acting all nice. How come you can't act like that all the time? And like, maybe even a little bit of self-awareness on Arnold's part, trying to leverage his importance to Helga into changing her behavior as Arnold does. And she completely no-sails it, right? She's like, nope. Being inconsiderate and bossy, that's just who I am, and that's who I want to be. And she just walks out, right? Like, Arnold says, whatever you say, Helga, and she goes, that's right, football head, whatever I say. And it's like, it's a huge triumph, right? Especially we get that great sort of like victory lap when she goes back to school and she sees everyone wearing the Hat Girl hats, and she just adjusts her bow and happily walks inside, right? And I loved that. I love that there is this sense that I don't know that we really got from the Stinky episode, where Helga is now under this pressure to conform to people's expectations of her, even sort of like very harrowingly, her family themselves, right? Like, all of a sudden, Big Bob is proud of her for the first time. And it's not because she's changed. As she points out, she had always been acting this way. It's just that now sort of, like, the greater culture, the fashion culture, has decided arbitrarily that this is what's cool. And now everybody likes her for that. But she's like, no, I'm going to be me. And even if that means, you know, I don't get the sort of like satisfaction that I was looking for, which she was never looking for in the first place. Right. So it's a really great, to Emily's point, I really like this message as like a, not only being true to yourself, but sort of like remaining true to what you want, even in the face of pressures to make you sort of conform to expectations, or even facing pressures that like you can benefit if you change yourself for somebody else, right? I really like that. And I think that this is also a really great episode as sort of like itself a victory lap for how great a character Helga is. Both of these episodes are really great, like, examinations of our characters thus far. And I think that this is a really important Helga episode for that. And it's totally Helga centric, which, you know, I love. So yeah, I don't disagree with Emily, your assessment that it is quite similar to the, Yahoo episode. I just think that like, maybe this one doesn't provoke my ire for being a copycat to quite the same extent, because, and maybe this is just me, but I feel like I can read some extra nuance in there because it's Helga, I guess. And I really like it for that. What did you think, Cody?
Yeah, I well said, both of you. I liked this episode. This is honestly the type of episode that I would kind of want, come to think of it, like really any character on the show to get. And I think a lot of our characters have had this quote unquote type of episode up to this point. It is maybe a little weird that it's Helga, not because she doesn't fit like the narrative structure of this episode really well, or like thematic structures as well. I think she's a great pick for that. But just so much of the show is already about Helga, where like they could have gone to somebody else. But when I made my little metatextual allusion at the top, I guess I was thinking about episode two, which, you know, we'll obviously talk about, but this styling of episode being the sort of, you know, we're going to, and it's literally what Helga says to Big Bob in the middle of the episode. It's something that a character has already been doing time and time again. We're just putting it under a microscope and looking at it from a way that isn't strictly like narrative driven or like narrative serving. Like literally, you know, we're looking at the aesthetics of Helga. On the surface, she's always grumpy. She has a scowl. She punches people. Like we're looking at those things in a more, like I said, aesthetic or cosmetic way. And you know, it's essentially the show or this episode, or even us as viewers asking, you know, what makes Helga special? In sort of broad strokes, you know, what makes Stinky special? When he goes Hollywood, what makes Mr. Wynn so special? You know, when he has his episode where he takes off and becomes a famous musician, and Helga hitting that beat at the end, that final note of she's comfortable enough with who she is, and she, you know, strives to find the right mix of like independence and unique qualities, while also some being a little bit more anonymous, not literally anonymous, where like everybody looks like Catgirl, everybody looks like Helga, but you know, we're not, everybody's kind of pandering to her and her style. She finds a way to do that, just as in a lot of the successful versions of these episodes, you know, these other characters find the right means of opting out. Mr. Wynn literally says, hey, I don't want to be famous anymore. And I think Stinky's choice was effectively the same. Agreed with Harry that it was a bit of a weak sauce moment from Arnold at the end. I think season 1 through 3, Arnold would have a better understanding of, you know, Helga has value even when she's a bully or when she's mean to me. Him sort of coming up, I was like, wow, you're really nice. You should be like that more often. That just feels just like a glossy finish, glossy in a bad way, I guess, finish to this episode. That was sort of a strange one to end on. And I thought the episode was over, but I guess both of these episodes have pretty good final shots of Helga standing in the sea of hat girls, which I particularly enjoyed. But yeah, I mean, all in all, liked this episode. It felt familiar, but not in a bad way, too much, I don't think.
I really like this point that you made, not just about Arnold at the end, but sort of throughout the episode, how this episode is really a litigation of Helga's value to the show and as a character and as a person. And I really like that as we sort of like pass the self-awareness event horizon even more in the later episode or later seasons, Helga herself is coming to internalize something that she's really struggled with throughout the show, right? Which is that I think a big part of Helga's angst is that even though she is this very sensitive soul, this very loving soul, she has this part of herself that is sort of like implied to be inherited from her father in some ways, right? And from her tumultuous home life that is grumpy and is inconsiderate and is short-tempered. And I think that there is a legitimate angst in Helga as a character that makes her less girly, right? Like she's constantly afraid that like she's going to lose Arnold to Lila or to Ruth or to people who are more sort of traditionally feminine. And at the beginning of the episode, she's even couching a lot of her criticisms of the fashion industry in like traditional feminist terms, right? It's like, oh, you want a clone model who looks the same as everybody else and acts the same as everybody else and is just traditionally beautiful, et cetera, right? And I really like that this show has always done a really good job of making it very clear that like, we love Helga the poet, right? We all love Helga the poet. We all love that Helga has a crush on Arnold, but no less do we love grumpy Helga, right? It's like you don't get one without the other. And the reason Helga is such a great character is because of both in equal terms, right? I like that this episode reminds us not to forget that, like, oh, like Helga's personality is not just a mask that hides the real good person underneath. The good person is that person. It is the personality that we see. And it is not only natural for Helga to come to embrace that as not a mask and not an illusion, but as an actual aspect of who she really is. But we should all celebrate that aspect of who she is, just like she does at the end of this, right? And there's something kind of bold about making Arnold the person she has to turn down, right? And I think maybe that's the reason they did it. But I agree with you that the there is a consequence there, which is that this episode, and spoilers, maybe the next episode too, they kind of oversimplify Arnold, right? A little bit. And I get that, like, that's because he's not really the main character of either of these episodes, ironically. But it is strange to watch a show that handles both of these characters, usually with so much nuance, sort of like offer up the more complex and complete characterization of one in order to make a point about the other. But that's kind of just the trappings of the narrative of this episode, I suppose, and maybe a weakness, but maybe just something that kind of had to be done, especially in service of that larger message, which again, I think is really great, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, funnily enough, I think the, you know, for all the focus that this episode has on characterizing Helga and reaffirming, I mean, the things that we already know and see about Helga on a weekly basis, the exchange or series of exchanges, I guess, or whatever that caught my attention was when Johnny Stitches, which Emily, to your point, agreed, great character, by the way, great utility in this episode. When he's listing off things that he can offer Helga, she finally, I forget most of the specifics, but, you know, fame, fortune, travel to exotic places, and then it's free stuff that really draws her in. That's it's something that is I think gestured at well enough, not necessarily consistently, but like in the pop star, the Phoebe pop star episode, like that plays a big role in sort of where that particular story goes. So I don't know, I guess I like that, even though the flow of this episode is covering something completely different and really hammering it home, just finding the little cracks to reaffirm smaller, more overlooked facets of Helga's personality and kind of fleshing her out that way. I mean, even if it's not something that we're already familiar with, I remember seeing it just like, oh yeah, of course she would, go for the chance at free things. She loves free things. But even like somebody not watching the show for the first time, like we have to get into the thick of things in some way. And so if somebody's new, they see that, it's like, oh, this is something that, this is something new I can learn about Helga. I've seen from all the advertisements that, you know, this show is A, called Hey Arnold, and B, like, it has a character in Helga in it who's the antithesis to, well, you know, antithesis is a loaded word, but anyways, I just wanted to call it that moment because I really liked that. It felt very productive and efficient, more so than maybe some of the other things in this episode would be characterized as.
That's such a good point, because like there is, first of all, that's a really good callback to when she was obsessed with the fact that Ronnie was just rich. It's true, right? Like much like her father, and a little bit like in continuity with her father, Helga's like a big capitalist. Like you hate to see it in some ways, but also I think it's lovely that the show celebrates that too, right? Like I'll never forget. Later in the show, we see a fantasy of Helga's future life. And she she's either the president of the United States or she is like the executive CEO of a giant business. And Arnold is like her stay at home, like himbo dad. He like literally is wearing like an open chested like Italian suit or shirt. And he's like waiting for her on balconies and stuff. And it's like, hell yeah, it's great. So like, I think that, you know, just it's funny. We've talked a bit about how the show fumbles when it comes to female characters, which it does, maybe more and more this later season. But so it's kind of comforting to see that like Helga has always been a character about telling not just like telling the main audience of this show that it's okay for them to be awkward or to have personality traits that other people might find less attractive or less sociable than they might want, right? And I think Helga's a really important character for that in all of her facets. And I think that any episode like this that shows it, even if it is sort of like hot off the heels of a similar episode, is got to be worth it for me.
Yeah, I get what y'all are saying with Helga. I also want to back it up a little just because I worry sometimes we're too much of an Helga apologist podcast. I totally agree, though, what you're saying about like this show does a great job of embracing all of the characters, you know, flaws or what would be considered flaws or her grumpiness and her quickness to anger and frustrations or her despair. Any emotion like is validated in the show as being cool and fine. But when it comes to Helga mistreating other people, that's where it's like, yeah, that's absolutely not okay. And that's, I think, why the ending with this episode with her discussion with Arnold is so, well, y'all really hated it. I was kind of just confused by it. But I think Arnold's not saying straight up like, Helga, well, that was cool to see you be, you know, a little nicer, a little kinder. I wish you treated me that way or something. He didn't say it directly like, wouldn't that be cool if you acted a little bit kinder to us kids or your peers or whatever. He was just like, oh, that was, you know, something I haven't seen, a side of you I haven't seen. And so she's like, you know, well, screw you. I'm going to still be me, sort of a thing. But I just wanted to make that point because at least on my side, Helga's an amazing character, but I don't think it's ever warranted when she's completely abusive to another character, Arnold or anyone on the show.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And I think the show generally does a pretty good distinction, right? But I think that there's an interesting slippery slope argument that like maybe by being overly validating of these traits that like in consideration and cruelty, or not cruelty necessarily, but rage, the show can make the mistake sometimes of going too far to validate when Helga is being abusive towards, say, Phoebe, right? And we've criticized that. And so, yeah, I think you're right. It's like, you have to be careful about that. And for the most part, I think the show does a good job of saying like, okay, it's fine that Helga is like this, but when that starts affecting other people, then we're going to do an episode about how that's bad. But yeah, that's a really good point. That's an interesting like tightrope that the show has to walk with Helga.
Yeah, and I think first and foremost, she's a fictional character, right? So she's just like, you know, just a cartoon character where they can throw all these traits onto, and we see her interact in so many different ways. And we know she has the secret soft side and talks in soliloquies about Arnold and has her whole secret life of how she works through her emotions that we, the characters, don't usually know is ever happening. But she's also like, since she's a fictional character, she's also uniquely self-aware in a way that most people probably in the real world aren't. And she's just a fictional fourth grade cartoon character with all these emotions. So my point too was not that the show is too much of a Helga apologist show. I was worried that our podcast might be coming across that way.
Which is totally fair. I'm crazy about Helga and I would defend her to the death, maybe to my own detriment or to the detriment of the pod.
Hopefully not to the detriment of the pod. But hey, if that ship has to go down someday, I'll be on the stern giving a salute and a move it football head. Any lingering thoughts, shout outs, things we didn't get to just while we tie up the threads for this episode A? Anything y'all are still kicking around?
Pretty horrifying to see everybody dressed as Helga, huh? Especially Principal Wartz. That was a great horror moment when she goes into the principal's office only to find him beginning to dress up like her. very, very scary stuff. Also, I really love that she was particularly annoyed when Miriam, her mom, started dressing like her. And we got one of the Francesca Marie Smith, like, incredible scream takes. Helga's got such a great shout, and it was great to hear that in this episode. So shout outs to that.
Also, notice that one character who does dress and look like Helga, but just in a different character style. I couldn't remember her name, though, but you see her at the very end when everyone has changed and is now all about Hat Girl, but she's still wearing the Helga dress and has her blonde hair. I can't remember the name, though.
Yeah, she's like the literal Helga doppelganger that only appears in like a couple of episodes in the side, right?
Yeah, she didn't have any lines in this one, I don't think. But funny to note it. She's still rocking the Helga look to a bit at the end. My shout out goes to Helga saying Geraldo, because also in the next episode she says Arnaldo, and I like to think that that's the connecting thread between these two A and B episodes. Sorry for the spoiler alert, but that's it for shout outs.
Nice. Hey, great shout outs. My one shout out is to the like three frames of Helga waving and smiling on stage. And then you see like two people walk away out of the audience. That was used as a reaction GIF in my company chats at a former job for a while. It just really good, really good utility there. Shout outs to moving images. Sure. We're gonna say our daily affirmations and prayers toward moving images. And you know, that'll take a little bit of time, but don't go anywhere. Please stick around because we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Episode 69B is next, and that episode is called Deconstructing Arnold. Original air date, September 18th, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold's classmates are tired of him constantly telling them the right thing to do, so he stops giving them advice. Nevertheless, when his classmates get into sticky situations, they are in desperate need of his advice. And once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible, Frank Weiss directed this one, and Michelle Lamoureux got the writing credit. So shout outs all around. Harry, we'll start with you you first this time. What did you think about this episode B?
Thanks, Cody. This is one that I've seen coming for a while. I think we've even alluded to it a couple of times as we've gotten closer to it. It's a memorable one for me, maybe just because of how openly metatextual, again, the title is. So I was a little bit surprised that I don't really like this episode very much. I think that it's weirdly not really a deconstruction of Arnold so much as a deconstruction of a grossly oversimplified exaggeration of Arnold. And that kind of held me up with it, right? Like I really have not been watching this show as somebody who like Arnold being somebody who like A, butts into people's lives. I just don't think that really happens, except maybe a little bit when he's sort of like caught up in something against his will or accidentally. And then B, I don't really know that I would characterize Arnold as somebody who like gives advice so much as sort of like helps people work through their own feelings maybe and arrive at their own conclusions, right? And guides them a little bit. Like, it's not that he's not an advice giver, but it was just that like at the end of this episode, when rightful order is supposed to have been restored and Arnold is like holding court on the steps of PS-118 with a clipboard, and he's like, all right, here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're going to do. I was like, that's not really what Arnold is to me. And I don't really think that's what Arnold is to Helga either. And so it's kind of a, it's not really a true title. You know what I mean? And that sat with me kind of wrong. Also, again, this is something that we just talked about in the last episode, but I think that in this episode does a real disservice to a lot of the characters in the name of making the point that the plot wants to make, in that I think, Cody, you had said in our chat, like, this is the episode where all of Arnold's friends are right? And like, it's true. That's like, they do really kind of terrible things. Like Sid steals Lorenzo's phone They pick on Eugene and like alter his bike so that it will fall apart, which to me was like really a bridge too far, because how are you going to pick on Eugene? Right? It's like the kid has enough going on as it is. He's the guy, you don't have to take apart his bike. It's going to fall apart on its own. Curly was super creepy in this episode. So, I mean, I get why they did that, right? Like, I get why they had to create this sort of fractious relationship. And I even really like that all of the kids kind of call out Arnold for being a busybody and get him to stop doing what he's doing. And I even love that Arnold goes to Gerald for advice, right? I think that that's sort of a rare inversion of form here. And I really liked that. I love to see Arnold being somewhat vindictive about it and not wanting to like accept his role again after they were so mean to him about it. All of that stuff hit really well for me, but I just don't think, I think that the fundamental premise of this episode isn't, it's weird, right? Because I don't want to say it's wrong. Like, Arnold is clearly a guy who gives advice. And he's clearly a busybody sometimes. He's very much a goody two-shoes. We've made fun of him for that throughout the series. And so, like, in some ways, this episode feels like kind of a fun comeuppance. And I kind of remembered it that way. But there's just something about the exaggeration and oversimplification of not only Arnold's roles, but the sort of personalities and roles of every one of these characters that kind of makes it a frustrating episode for me. Although I really like Helga giving advice as well. So I guess basically a really mixed bag for me on this one, but I'm really interested to hear what you both have to say, especially because this episode feels like it's sort of tailor-made to be, no pun intended, deconstructed by people like us, right? It's kind of like four big fans of the show, like, we're going to give you something.
That last part especially, really good point. I do just want to call it out though, in the watch chat, or the watch party chat, when we were watching the episode just before this, whenever Curly showed up and did something pretty problematic, Harry was just, oh, my hero, Curly's the best, Curly forever. This is peak cinema. A lot of really weird things. I wanted to throw in the fact checking there because, you know, we got to do our due diligence around here, right? So now that that's out of the way, Emily, what did you think about this episode?
Thanks for asking, Cody. Curly apologists on this side of the episode. I think that this is an interesting episode just to consider Arnold's character, Arnold as a character, his personality, and what they extract from it, like Harry is mentioning specifically with giving advice. I think it's a good lesson that it's like, well, yeah, if someone's not asking you for advice, you don't need to give them advice. It's, you know, unwarranted. So that's kind of, I think, a bigger part of the point here in this episode of like, Arnold, if someone's just coming to you and kind of wants to vent or tell you what's going on, like, it's totally good and fine to just listen to them, hear them out, but you don't have to offer them a solution. You don't have to give them advice. It's okay. Unless they're saying, what would you do? How could I maybe see this differently? If they're asking you for it, then sure, Arnold be an Arnold about it. What else to say about it than that? I don't have a whole lot of notes on it. I think this episode, too, is especially structured around the character sagas of all the other characters. So as Harry was talking about, we had the Stinky and Harold saga with Eugene and his bike falling apart. A little homage to Eugene's bike, I suppose, from episode one. And Curly and Rhonda, the whole accidental love situation that's kind of hard to watch, and you're also just like, oh, what's going to happen? Didn't love watching that, I guess. And then Sid and Lorenzo, the other saga with Lorenzo's phone. And as Harry noted in the watch party there, Lorenzo doesn't have any lines, but we just see that he's pissed off about the broken phone by the locker. So I think it kind of revolves, though, more around those characters and each of their subplots than it really does around Arnold and what he's doing in this one. I guess to the point of the episode, he's staying out of things, so he isn't a center of the episode. It's what happens when Arnold isn't there to offer advice when it's needed or not needed, what happens when he's not there to help them, yeah, figure things out for themselves or offer a solution of his own that he thinks would work for them. And I do like at the end the music a lot. I just was reminded that Helga will sometimes have the romantic music cue with the harps or charms or whatever it is when she's looking at Arnold and he walks away and she pulls out the Arnold locket and starts the soliloquy of her love for him. And then ends with like a wonderful salsa-y, dancey love song in the credits. So those I enjoyed as well. I'm not sure what else to say, though, about the actual episode. So I will ask you, Cody, what do you think of this episode?
Well, thank you, Emily. I do agree that I too felt myself come away with this with maybe fewer notes than I was expecting. Maybe part of that is because, you know, there are a few obvious things to talk about. And then it is, you know, three like B, C, D plots that play out. And we're just kind of watching those unfold. Like we understand the catalyst for them and we understand inevitably what needs to happen. Like Arnold needs to come in and give advice. So, I mean, filler is probably too aggressive and probably incorrect of a term, but just like nothing that really needs you picking apart. It's just, you know, it kind of like, you know, we're saying like, hey, Arnold without Arnold, you know, Garfield minus Garfield, if you will. But I agree. I mean, ultimately, with a lot of what the two of you are saying, this does, I mean, this pairing of episodes, is, the fact that they are paired together makes a lot of sense. This is a version of Arnold that is, kind of also glossed over in a way that, feels similar to how Helga was glossed over last episode. This feels like, you know, a type of episode or conversation that like is maybe better catered to, watching it kind of, you know, not coming back to talk about it on a podcast where it's just like, oh, I'm a casual viewer. I know Arnold gives advice. And so this is an episode about like what happens when Arnold can't give advice. And like that, it makes perfect sense on the surface, but it is the fact that Arnold is glossed over as like an advice giving dude. And that's his, you know, seemingly only the characterization on the show. The fact that, you know, it's Arnold the Saint, and then his friends are just these prank doing real jerky friends that just like, or it's a complete ruckus. It's a complete shit show without Arnold there to kind of pacify things and like babysit them. That felt strange. As we always say, for a lot of these episodes, rather, it's just, you know, it's a means to an end for them to want to tell the story they want to tell in season four or even season three. So it makes sense. And honestly, having the glossed over version of Arnold does allow us to get like a version of Helga who's like it's like dark Arnold basically, but like dark off brand Arnold, where she's all she does is give advice, and it's just like, you know, cheaper advice, you know, like it's like she's getting it at a, you know, buying it used, rather, you know, this advice from Helga, where you kind of get to the place you need to get, but not quite, or maybe it's a monkey's paw situation, whatever characterization you prefer. So that was kind of fun, and not to just like armchair director some of these things, but you know, you counter this sort of characterizing of Arnold and this picking apart like what, you know, Arnold's role within this circle with, you know, a really great characterizing moment of this episode. I noticed at the end, without saying a word between the two of them, Phoebe gives Arnold a clipboard with the, just like as he's about to run through all the advice he was going to give, and just completely nonverbal. It further enhances what we already sort of know about Phoebe and Phoebe. Why am I having so much trouble with Phoebe Heyerdahl's name? There we go. I think I'm properly calibrated. But like, it says a lot about her character. It says a lot about Arnold's character in that he just grabs it without being surprised or needing to say a word about it either way. I mean, he's obviously very thankful for it. So I don't just, I, that was moment in this episode that stood out to me and kind of spoke volumes in a strange way against an episode that felt very different. And I don't know, I didn't have a great memory of this episode. Part of me was thinking like, oh, maybe this will be an episode where Arnold, it's very Arnold centric, and it's him asking, is this a situation where his friends need him or he needs them? He needs to be giving out advice. They don't really explore that. Super up, they seem pretty content in their answer that, well, no, Arnold's friends actually like really need him. Like, did you watch the theme song? Did you see the marquee? Like, the show is called Hey Arnold. Like, his friends need him. They didn't really go beyond that again, which is fine. It's a different episode. And this episode I thought was fine and fun to watch. Felt incomplete, but, you know, based on the sort of thresholds they set for themselves and kind of the ceiling this episode was placed at, I don't know. I felt fine with it.
Okay. So I'm really glad you got there. Because that brought me to what my next point was probably going to be anyway. And speaking of armchair directing, the whole time I was watching this episode, I kept thinking like, okay, what would an actual deconstructing Arnold episode look like? Because this is not actually a deconstruction of Arnold, right? Like, we don't actually get to see the underside or the bad point of his personality presented, right? In fact, by the end of this episode, we have totally reconstructed what the show tells us is the status quo, right? And in fact, Arnold was right all along. It's not bad that he's a busybody. It's not bad that he gives out unwarranted advice. I would have liked the episode that Emily characterized more, right? Like, I really like that message that Emily said, right? Where like, Arnold doesn't always have to give out advice. And this episode plays with it, and I think that's the deconstructive aspect of it. But then it definitely, like, disarms that, right? In order to come back to everything being as it was. So I really liked what you had set up, Cody. I really love the idea of exploring this idea that actually Arnold needs to be this for his friends, maybe even more than they need it, right? I think that a truly deconstructive episode would maybe show how his friends are fine and maybe even better off sometimes before he intervenes. And when he intervenes, it actually overcomplicates things because it's him sort of trespassing on a situation that he doesn't have a full, clear understanding of, rather than what this episode shows us, which is that Arnold's moral compass is infallible and he always has a perfect saint-like understanding of every situation and therefore is perfectly suited to navigate all of his friends through whatever life challenges they receive, right? I think some of the best episodes of Hey Arnold have explored the limitations of Arnold's personality and of his sort of like moral quest to set everybody on the right path and demonstrated that, hey, like maybe that's not quite right. And in fact, even like there is some star-crossed sense in which like Helga being the ultimate example of somebody he can't do that for, at least consciously, only subconsciously or only on Helga's terms, is why they're so well suited for one another, right? So I would have loved to have seen an episode where like maybe Arnold gives advice that's wrong, right? I would have even loved to have seen Arnold kind of take the role that Helga has here, right? He obviously wouldn't dispense the advice that Helga dispensed because that's terrible advice. But like, I would love to have seen a situation where Arnold is like well-meaning and doing what he does, right? Which is try to sort of like level things out and make sure everybody is acting morally and acting virtuously. And it just doesn't work out, right? Because he just didn't fully understand the situation or because it just wasn't the type of situation that could be so easily reconciled through that form of mediation or whatever. But I think that I would have loved to have gotten an episode like that. And in fact, I kind of thought that that's what this episode was, right? My memory of it was that I had the plot elements flipped around a little bit, right? Like I kind of thought it started with Arnold helping all of these people and then them being like, actually, like your advice kind of screwed things up, Arnold. Like you got to butt out sometimes. And then we could have the second half of this episode, right? But that's not what this episode ended up being. Instead, it became much more traditional and sort of like validating of this relatively simplistic characterization of Arnold that I think at its best points, this show actually challenges a lot more effectively. But I don't know. What did you guys think about that? And maybe what would you make a deconstructing Arnold episode look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think as and I'll be quick, but you know, one other angle this episode could take, and Emily, I think you touched on it already, or at least mentioned it. I mean, Helga had that with 3 minutes left in the episode, including credits. Like she has a classic Helga soliloquy. Maybe this episode is, you know, more. Maybe we lean away from the deconstructing Arnold and make it more equitable between him and Helga, or make it lean even more heavily into Helga, you know, with Arnold sort of taking a break from dispensing advice. She has to, you know, put up a, you know, Lucy from the Peanuts-esque stand where it's, hey, 5 cents, I'll, you know, tell you how to live your life, and she'll have a sort of edge to it. And then maybe things blow up in her face as she, you know, I don't know. Like, there are so many different ways that they could have gone, but I couldn't help but think about that because the monologue from Helga felt like it's good, as it always is, because the writing is for those is always top notch, and Francesca Marie Smith always knocks it out of the park. But it was like, really, in this episode, that feels when our focus is being cast in so many directions between Helga and between his friends who are in trouble, and then Helga who is temporarily giving out advice, and then she's in kind of deep water. I don't like refining that focus might have been nice, but I don't know. That's again, I feel like there are a lot of answers to this question potentially.
Yeah, I agree with you, Cody. I think a deconstruction of Helga would be really fun, but I guess we do get that Helga on the couch episode this season, just towards the end of this season 4. So that'll kind of come closer to what we're talking about with a deconstruction, or at least seeing more clearly how she views things and her own personality and her own life. But I do think I like this episode now that I'm thinking of it in terms of like a meta episode, more so of just reading into Arnold needs these other characters as much as these other characters need him, because of course they do, because it's a television show. So all the characters, you know, are foils or play with each other and against each other. And you need all of that for any good television, right? Or any good storytelling. But I think it's really funny that this episode almost suggests that Arnold is so needed for the advice giving, and his friends need him so badly that, at least in the case of Eugene and the bike, like if Arnold doesn't give advice to his friends, they might get murdered. Like they might die without Arnold's advice. So I think that's kind of funny, and the extreme side of what they're trying to highlight with his character. But at least as a meta reading of it, I think it's pretty good. And I'm maybe appreciating it more in that way.
I love that, Emily. I love this idea that, like, because you're right, the PS-118 we see, Arnold even says things are kind of crazy out there right now, right? It's like heavily implied that without his moral guidance, anarchy will reign and all will fall apart, which if you want to deconstruct Arnold, like, I love this idea that in fact, Arnold is like kind of a god tyrant, and these characters haven't been given the chance to develop into proper people because Arnold has been telling them what to do all along. And in fact, we have to get rid of Arnold so that normalcy can reign once more. Obviously the show doesn't get there, but I'm very into that.
Right? Like, what is Hillwood without the little Buddha? Like, they need his spiritual guidance to tie everything up together.
To the point where it's bad, right? Because it's like, oh, they haven't had to solve these challenges for themselves, so they've become sort of like reliant on this one kid to keep things in line. And if something happens to that kid, it's like it's all going to fall apart.
I mean, in that sense, too, with the meta reading, isn't it just the writers almost poking fun at themselves, being like, yeah, we know Arnold, we plug in to solve the solutions in these stories. But right. We need him and they need him and it's all good.
To the point where, and this is the part that I did remember, right? Like, when all of the characters are calling out Arnold for being a busybody, it's a little cathartic, right? I'll never forget that Harold, I can't remember the word now because I suck, but he calls him a Yiddish word, right? Which is another just little awesome example of great characterization. That was so great. And, kibitzer. Is what it was, which he says is Yiddish for big, bad Badinsky. And then later on, Arnold, he goes, is that the conversation where I called you a big, bad Badinsky? And Arnold has this tremendous line read where he goes, yes, Harold. So, yeah, I really loved that. I think I'm with you, Emily. I'm coming around that, like, even if they didn't get as far as I would have liked them to, I do love these little touches that they included.
Yeah, me too. You know what? At the end of the day, we're watching Hey Arnold. How bad can it get? Probably. Knock on wood. Any other threads, shout outs, things that we didn't get to that y'all want to toss out there before we wrap this one up?
Shout outs to my boy Curly. He's wilding in this episode. Really on some. He keeps trying to sniff Rhonda's hair. And at one point he's like, just let me have one sniff. That's all I need is one sniff. And I was like, man, you are really going hard this time around, my man. Tough to be in Camp Curly this time around. But, you know, as Cody noted, you got to roll with the punches. You know, you got to stand up for your little freaks every now and then.
Did I say that? You have to, quote, roll with the punches? Okay. All right. Well, we can play the tape back. All right.
Yeah, Cody said, and I quote, you have to stand up for the little freaks.
That does sound like something I would say, to be honest.
I would like to shout out Lorenzo's phone. Pretty cool looking 90s phone with the buttons and slime green, and it's cool. Very 90s aesthetic. And then shout out to Eugene for his unbelievable resilience. Incredible to see. He's in a full body cast at the end, and he still tries to respond to what they're saying to him. So, amazing.
Yeah, amazing indeed. My lone shout out, speaking of little freaks, I would have simply owned up to stealing Lorenzo's phone. I would have told Lorenzo's mom to her face. Weirdly enough, we didn't see this episode. You know, a pretty popular character. I know everybody's been clamoring to have her back. Lorenzo's mom probably would have been upset and I would need to be punished, but you know, c'est la vie. Whatever happens, happens. Gotta stand up for the little freaks. With that, thank you, dear listener, for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvison, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
Thanks again for listening. This one goes out to all the Badinskis.